Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Mem Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Mem Beis, we notice a Tanaic source that appears 7 lines from the top in the middle of line Tonu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source describes or discusses what is mashma from the word tzitzis. The word tzitzis appears in the Torah. And it says in this source, tzitzis, ain't tzitzis ela anaf. The word tzitzis implies loose strings. When we have our tzitzis, we know there's a section that's knotted and coiled, and then after that, there flows forth from it loose strings. That's the term anaf. V'cheinu omer, v'yikocheni betzitzis roshi. This pasuk implies loose hairs, hairs of one's head that are loose. The Omar Abaye v'tzorach lifroda ki tzitzisa de armoi. Rashi describes a situation, something like what we call a ponytail, where the Gentile would have a long head of hair, and it would be gathered together close to the head in some type of clasp like we have today, and after that the hair is free flowing outside on the other side of the clasp. Similarly with the tzitzits, you have a section of the tzitzits that's knotted and coiled, and beyond that the loose strings should be separated and free flowing. Tonu Rabbanan. Here the Gemara describes the location of the tzitzits on the corner of the beged. On the outside margin, we have a nosei in our pre-marked Gemaras that are the feature of the Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer. You see the nosei, the topic heading, Machloikis Tanoim Binyan Mikum HaNekev Sheboi Machnisim HaTzitzis. We'll see a Machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy concerning the location of the hole in which the tzitzis are threaded through. So the first Tana, Hitil Al Hakeren O Al Hagdil Kshera. In an illustration of Al Hakeren, you can see in the inside margin we have featured some more of our Impressionism art history. You can see there a corner of a garment, beged is labeled, that means a garment, and the hole is basically right at the corner of the garment. And there's a crude illustration of tzitzits that are coming forth from through that hole. The gedil, Rashi describes, is a piece of fabric that forms the edge of the garment, usually a thicker piece of fabric to keep it from tearing. So, as far as we are concerned, gedil is an example of tzitzits that are placed right at the edge of the garment. So the Tanakama says that that's kosher. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov posel b'shtehen. He rejects both of these locations, Karen and Gedil. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's necessary for the tzitzis to be set in a bit more into the interior of the garment and not at the very edge. Kiman Azla Holdim Rav Gidol Amarav. The Gemara wants to know, based on which Tana is the statement of Rav Gidol Amarav? Tzitzis tzricha shetehe noitefes al hakeren. The tzitzis have to be draped over the corner. We attempted to illustrate this, albeit a crude illustration, But there is a, in the inside margin, you can see, once again, the corner of the beged, and the hole is set in a bit to the interior of the garment, and the tzitzis are threaded through that hole, and you can see they drape over the corner of the garment. So the Gemara is asking, based on whom is Rav Gittel Amarav's teaching that it has to be no tefes ala keren, and this is based on the pasuk that says shenemar al kanfei bigdehem, on the corners of the garment, as opposed to being threaded right through the corner literally, but rather it should be draped over the corner. Keman, which Tana would subscribe to this approach? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. This would conform to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who ruled as invalid tzitzis that are placed too close to the edge. Omar Rav Yaakov, Omar Rav Yochanan, v'tzorach shiyarchik meloi kesher gudol. There is a distance that one must distance the tzitzis, according to this approach, of course, one must distance the tzitzis, a distance called melo kesher gudol, that would be the distance from the edge of the thumb to the first joint. So that far in the tzitzis must be placed. On Daf Mem Aleph Omid Beis, and we have a star featured here, which enables you to look back to Mem Aleph Omid Beis, and see the line that's there also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, featuring a star indicating Mem Beis Omid Aleph. And at that point, Rav Popa says that the tzitzis should not be more than three finger breaths away from the corner or from the edge. So the Gemara points out that we need both of these statements. Rav Yankiv said that the tzitzis should not be right up along the edge, but rather a thumb joint away from the edge. And Rav Papa, it says it should not be further from the edge than three fingers. The itzterich, the Rav Yankiv, the Gemara says the itzterich the Rav Papa, the itzterich the Rav Yankiv. I need both of these teachings. The ime the Rav Papa, had I just had Rav Papa alone, hava mina, toch gimel, within three fingers, the lo larchik tvei, what Rav Papa said was within three fingers simply means don't make it more distant than three fingers from the edge. However, v'kama de mikravi mali, but the closer to the edge, the better. In other words, if I had Rav Papa alone, I might have thought right along the edge is good. All Rav Papa was telling us was how far in not to go. But how close to the edge, as far as we're concerned, it could go right up to the edge. Therefore, itzterich de Rav Yankiv. I need Rav Yankiv's teaching that tells me don't go right up to the edge. You have to be marchik, the shiur of Melo Kesher Gudol. The mid Rav Yankiv, had I had just his teaching, hava mina Melo Kesher Gudol, Delo Likriv Tvei. Melo Kesher Gudol is a shiur of how close you can get to the edge, but no less than that to the edge. However, as far as how far in you can go, had I had just Rav Yankiv, v'kama de rochik mali, the further in, the better. Therefore, tzricha, I need Rav Papa in order to tell me that you don't go as far in as you like, but it's limited to three etzbois. Ravino, Rav Sama, Avigasvi, Kameder of Ashi. So you have Ravino and Rav Sama seated in the presence of Rav Ashi. Chazio, Rav Sama, Lekarne, Deglime, De Ravino. Rav Sama noticed that the corner of the garment of Ravino, De Sosar, Ubotsar, Mimloi, Kesher Gudol. There was apparently a rip in the hole in which the tzitzits were threaded, and the tzitzis ended up coming closer to the edge of the garment than a Melo Kesher Gudol. We have another one of our illustrations on the inside margin. What we've entitled the picture as the illustration, Sosar u'botzer mimlo keshugur. Botzer means less than. So there was a rip. Sosar is a rip. And it became less than a mlo keshugur. So you can see in this diagram a hole. And there's also an attempt to, it's a bit exaggerated, but a rip in the hole. As a result of that, the tzitzis end up being suspended from that point, the end of the rip. Notice the proximity of the end of the rip to the edge of the garment. It's within the shiur of Melo Keshu Gudol. So Rav Sama noticed that Ravina's tzitzis looked like that. Amale, so Rav Sama spoke up, so he says, Lo Sava Lomar, Lo Hoder of Rabbi Yankiv. Do you not hold from Rabbi Yankiv's teaching? Rabbi Yankiv, who just got finished telling us that it should not be closer than Emlo Keshu Gudol to the edge. And yet yours is closer. Amale, Ravina responded, Bishas Asir Idmar. Rabbi Yankiv was talking about the case of tzitzis, as how they are to be at the moment they're made, at the point of their initial preparation. However, if they're prepared using the proper statistics and dimensions, and something problematic arises later, that does not invalidate them. Well, so Rav Sama received a resounding response from Ravina, Ichsif, that caused Rav Sama to be embarrassed. Amalei Ravashi, lo taskif loch, don't take it so hard. Don't take the fact that he responded so quickly to your observation, don't take it so hard. You should just know, chad minayu ketre minon. One of them from Ben Eretz Yisrael is as great as two of us in the diaspora. So, hence, there was a recognition of Ravina's sharpness. Ravina, who came from Eretz Yisrael, was able to outwit or respond so quickly and to the point to Rav Sama's observation. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. In our markings, we offer, in addition to the topic headings, we also offer mivne notes, structural notes, that explain the role of the new markings as they appear. In this case, we have a volcano form, and in the outside margin under our nosei mivne heading, here we combine the topic heading with a structural note. The trapezoid or volcano form appears. Shnei drochim shoinim, two different approaches, shel hachnosas chutim lenekev, the inserting of the tzitzis strings into the hole. The Gemara, Rav Achov bar Yankiv, Romi arbo, he would take four strings, va'ayif luhu me'af, he would then fold over the strings, forming a loop, uma'ayil luhu beglima, the ovik luhu mevak. He would insert the loop into the hole and then take the ends of the strings. Now you have a total of eight ends of strings because it was folded over and looped, and you take those ends and insert them through the loop. And after you do that, you would draw it tight and then start forming your tzitzis. We have an illustration to demonstrate this. In the inside margin, there is an illustration, Ayif Luhu Me'af, the Ovik. What we've attempted to illustrate here is the corner of a garment with a hole. Maybe it appears exaggerated in size, but it's in order so we can see what is taking place. We have a loop that emerges through the hole. To the right-hand side of the diagram, you can see the ends of the strings, the ends of the tzitzis strings, the loose ends. Then you take those loose ends, as is illustrated by that dashed, curved line, and you take those ends and insert them through the loop, coming down, and then you would form the knots and coils, as is illustrated here. Back into the Gemara, Kosovar, the Gemara explains Rav Acha's reasoning, he holds Bo'inon Tamne Beglimo. He holds that you have to insert 8 strings into the garment. And that's accomplished by folding over the 4 strings, looping them over. At that point, you would then have what would appear to be 8 strings going right through the hole in the form of that loop. And this is because Kiheshi Deleve Gedil Gedilim B'mokoim Psil. Based on his understanding of the Pasuk, there has to be this number of strings going through the garment. Rashi explains the Gzeres HaKosov a little bit, and with the assistance of the Rashash and the Mloh HaRoim, one can come to an understanding how he gets to 8 strings. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Rami Tamnia Deinhu Shitzar Velo Ovik Lehu. He puts 8 strings through the hole. No looping, just puts 8 strings through the hole, and as they drape down, there ends up to be 16 strings, because as you put the 8 strings through the hole and have them fold over, you thereby create 16 string tips. So that's Rav Yirmiyah Midifti's approach. More braid Ravina Ovid Kedidon. More braid Ravina practices like we do, and that is inserting 4 strings through the hole and tying them into knots and coils as we do. We have a new marking. This is a triangle with a shaded in tip. On the outside margin, we have a topic heading, Klolim Lodas Al Eze Mitzus Mevorchim Al Asiyos. And the Gemara will try to develop rules through which we can understand which mitzvahs require a brocha upon their performing or on their making, on the making of those mitzvahs. The topic heading that we're giving right now will become clearer through learning the examples of the Gemara itself. We're talking about the making of mitzvahs and the need or lack of need for a bracha. The Mivneh structural note features this triangle with colored in tip, and you'll notice it highlights the names Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda. First triangle is around Rav Nachman, and a few lines later, you'll notice Rav Chisda has a similar marking. They represent Shnei Deois Berav, 2 opinions within Rav. Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda will be featuring their understanding of Rav. He'ara, we want to point out, Simun Zeyeh Le'ezer Bagemora Bomid Beis. We will derive benefit from this particular triangle when we get to the Gemara on Amud Beis. Turning to the Gemara, Rav Nachman Ashkechei l'Rav Ado Bar Avo. Rav Nachman met Rav Ado, Rami Chuti v'Komavorech, and he noticed Rav Ado was preparing tzitzis. He was putting tzitzis into a garment and making a brocha la'asos tzitzis. In other words, he would say, Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu v'Mitzvasov v'Tzivanu la'asos tzitzis. A brocha, a brichas ha-mitzvah, concerning the making of tzitzis. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman reacts in an offhanded, almost jeering fashion, and he makes fun of the word tzitzis in the context of his bracha and says, "My tzitzi shamana, hachi omar rav." What's this tzitzi that I'm hearing? Tzitzi being the bracha of lasa tzitzis. What is this? Rav says tzitzis ain tzricha bracha. In with regard to the making of tzitzis, there is no need for a bracha. We just encountered a new geometric form, a house shape. In our Mivneh heading, we have the house shape featured, and we have it around the word tzitzis. And when, of course, you have a geometric shape in the Gemara markings, it means that there has to be another similar shape somewhere along the way. So you will notice another tzitzis word with a house marking. In this case, it happens to be written into the text. We have it as the lines jut out of the Gemara text. We've written in the word tzitzis, and the point or the reason for this marking is havlota sastira. We want to highlight or bring out the contradiction that the Gemara will raise, that specifically Rav Chisda will raise. So at the last point we heard was Rav Nachman's presentation of Rav, holding that in the making of tzitzis there is no need to make a brocha. The Gemara continues, Ki noch nafshe the Rav Huna, when Rav Huna was about to pass away, Ol Rav Chisda lemirma de Rav adarav. Rav Chisda entered, Ol as he entered, he went to visit Rav Huna, and he raised a contradiction in the teachings of Rav. Umi Omar Rav tzitzis ein tzorech brocha. Does Rav really hold that way? V'ho Omar Rav Yehud Omar Rav. Minayin letzitzis be'oive kichovim shipsula. From where do we know that a Gentile who would prepare tzitzis, they would be invalid? Before we go any further, we have a lot of markings that we want to pay attention to. First of all, Rav Chisda has started a long comment, and we feature this with a marking, a long marking, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You notice Rav Chisda's name is encircled with a vertical dashed line, lasting till the second wide line of Gemara. In addition, we have a double underline with dots in it. In the outside margin, we have indicated that there is a Roman numeral 1 and 2 that accompany this marking. 1 is over here. The Roman numeral number 2 will appear on Mem Beis Omid Beis. These represent Shnei L'shoinois Rav Yehuda Amarav, two versions of Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Inyan Tzitzis Shinasu Bidei Akum, regarding Tzitzis made by a Gentile. We've also featured the word Minayan with a bow tie. This will help us to contrast the two versions. So before going further into the discussion at hand, let's just notice the difference between Roman numeral number 1 and Roman numeral number 2. Roman numeral number 1 has Rav Yehuda Amar Rav saying, from where do I know that tzitzis bovi kichovim shi psula? Jump over or scroll ahead to Roman numeral number 2 on Mem Beis Amud Beis. Less than halfway down the column, the page, you'll notice, again, this double underline with dots in it, in the right before another bow tie. There, you have Omer Avido Marav, Minayin, Letzitzvah, we call them Shekshera. Notice we dashed underline the word Shekshera over there. And over here, on Mem, Beis, Omen, Aleph, we have dashed underline the word Psula. Rav Chisda's version of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav has Rav saying that tzitzits made by a Gentile are invalid. And that's what our Gemara is saying now. Minayin letzitzis bevikachovim shipsulo shenemar daber el b'nei Yisrael v'osu lohem tzitzis. And he darshans b'nei Yisrael yasu v'lo ho'ovdei kachovim yasu. The Pasuk says, is addressing the Jewish people. So it's the Jewish people that will make the tzitzis and not Gentiles. On the surface of things, we said Rav Chisda came to raise a stira in Rav's. Where do we see a stira? Umay v'ha mai rumya. Where is the difficulty in Rav, or lack of consistency in Rav's teachings? On the beforehand, we saw Rav saying that the making of tzitzis don't require a brocha. Here you have Rav saying that tzitzis made by a Gentile are invalid. Where is there any contradiction? Omar Rav Yosef, Kosova Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda's opinion is as follows. Kol mitzvah shekshera boivin kichavim. If you have a mitzvah that's preparation can be done by a Gentile, be Yisrael ein tzorech levorech. So if a Jew prepares the mitzvah, so there's no need for a brocha. Kol mitzvah shepsula be'evi kechavim, any mitzvah that a Gentile is unfit to do, for example, tzitzis.
B'Yisrael tzorech levorech. So if Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is telling me that tzitzis b'vivik chovim are invalid, are psula, then you're in effect telling me that tzitzis is the kind of thing that you will make a bracha. Compare the house marking that we just had, that we had written in. We're talking about tzitzis, and the Gemara here says, B'Yisrael tzorech levorech. We've dashed underline tzorech levorech. Compare this with the original house marking. Notice you have, right before Rav Chisda raises the contradiction, we had Rav Nachman's version of Rav holding tzitzis ein tzorech bracha. So you've got Rav above saying tzitzis ein tzorech bracha, and you of course can see Rav's name is circled. And here you have Rav's position as presented by Rav Chisda that tzitzis would need a bracha in their making. That's a contradiction. It's worth noting before we go further, but this note is really in anticipation of the Gemara on Mem Beis Omid Beis. The problem, this problem or this contradiction is arising only because we have this particular version of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, namely that tzitzis b'vivik chovim are psula. If you were to hold, for example, that tzitzis b'vivik chovim are kshera, then you would have an example of something that's kosher ba'akum. On that, we say Yisrael eino mevorech. There would be then no contradiction. But as far as our mahalach of the Gemara right now is, accepting this version of Rav Yehuda Rav, that maintains or that claims that since it's prepared by a Gentile or apostle, if that be the case, it's something that should have a bracha recited over it. And if that be the case, then we have a contradiction. Because above we had, where the former house marking was, tzitzis ein tzricha brocha. The Gemara in the next few lines, we have a long question mark. You can see the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. There's a kufitz and circle with a vertical dashed line indicating kushya, a long question. The Gemara will try to challenge the principle taught by Rav Chisda. However, if the principle of Rav Chisda remains, if it remains intact, then the original problem, the contradiction in Rav, will also remain. So the Gemara right now tries to challenge Rav Chisda's principle. Uklolo, who is the rule that we just attempted to say under Rav Chisda's name, that was labeled with an aleph and beis kol mitzvah, etc., and beis kol mitzvah, etc. Is this really a hard and fast rule? The circumcision of a newborn, dikshera ba'ovei kechavim, a Gentile is acceptable in doing that action, the removal of the foreskin through mila, the sanya, and the Tanaic source that we present here will simply serve as background for this shita. We'll see this shita's Rabbi Meir that holds a goy, an armoi, a Gentile is fit to do mila. And if you skip to the end of this source, right after this Tanaic source, it says, Ubi Yisrael tzorech levarech. Notice with the markings, we've used a diagonal dashed underlining to highlight the phrases, Dikshera bovikhovim. We're talking about mila. It's kosher bovikhovim. Now, according to the rule that we saw just before this, if a mitzvah is kosher bovikhovim, then we said, Yisrael eino mevarech. Here, just emphasize the dashed underlining. You have ksher b'vikachavim in the case of mila, and yet the phrase after the brisa says would be Yisrael tzorech levarech, and the Gemara will give the background to that as well. So this will be a challenge to Rav Chisda's rule. So the Gemara now gives us the brisa in which we see that mila b'vikachavim is kosher. Desanya ir she'ein bo roife Yisrael, a city that doesn't have a Mohel that is Jewish, v'yesh bo roifei armoi v'roifei kusi, but there's a rofe, a moel, that happens to be a non-Jew, a Gentile, and there's a rofe that's a kusi. A kusi is a member of a people that worshipped on the Mount Gerizim, Har Gerizim. They worshipped a bird form, a Yonah, on Har Gerizim. So the Tanakhama says that if you have this choice, a rofe armoi or a rofe kusi, yimol armoi va'al yimol kusi, we would prefer the armoi doing the milah and not the kusi. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And for our purposes, we've dashed underlined that which is immediately important to us, where it says yimol armoi. That's what we tried to show, that milah boivikovim is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda omer kusi v'lo armoi. Rabbi Yehuda would prefer the kusi to do the milah and not the oivik kuchavim. So milah is kosher boivik kuchavim ubi Yisrael tzarach levarech. And yet, when it comes to the Yisrael, a Jew doing it, he will have to make a bracha. Diyom amar hamol omer boruch asher kishano b'mitzso v'tzivano al hamilah. So we see that the one who is doing the milah makes a bracha, even though we're dealing with a mitzvah that can be done. In other words, the mitzvah can be prepared by the Gentile. So this would be a kasha on the rule that Rav Chisda taught. The Gemara responds, Midi hu taimo elo l'rav. Is it not so that our whole discussion is concerning Rav, and Rav Chisda raised a stira within Rav? Well, let it be known, Rav mifsal posil. Rav rules that a Gentile is not acceptable in doing the milah. He would prefer to have a kusi and not a Gentile. Or let us say simply that a Gentile, according to Rav's understanding, is unacceptable. The itvar, as is taught, minayin lemila boivik kuchavim shipsula. From where do we know that mila done by an idol worshipper is unacceptable? Daru bar pop mishmei de Rav. Notice we've dashed underlined Rav's name. He is the center of our discussion. He says, Omar viato es brisi tishmor. And Rashi explains that from this pasuk we learn that only someone who's already circumcised is capable of carrying out circumcision. And when we speak about someone who is circumcised, that's obviously to the exclusion of your rank and file idol worshipper who is not circumcised. Rabbi Yochanan, or my Rabbi Yochanan, gives a second source that shows that Oivik Kovim is possible. He says, Hamol Yimol. And the word Hamol Yimol is Hamal Yimol, meaning someone who is circumcised is licensed to do the circumcision. Someone who is not circumcised, like an idol worshipper, he is not licensed to do the circumcision. Therefore, as far as Rav is concerned, you cannot work with the assumption that Mila Bovikovim is kosher, because quite to the contrary, Mila Bovikovim is posel. If Mila Bovikovim is posel, then I understand fully well why the Yisrael who does Mila makes a bracha, which that is in conformity to Rav Chisda's original rule. The Gemara goes on with two mitzvahs. Sukkah Misayalei, Tfilin Havei Tiyuvdei. The case of Sukkah will support Rav Chisda. The case of Tfilin will be to the disadvantage or the contrary of Rav Chisda. The Gemara will explain. We have some markings that we want to point out. And under our Mivneh note, you see with this crown shape with the points facing up. That will be Sukkah Meseo Leklal Sherav Chisda. With the points facing down, that's Tfilin Havei Tiyuvdei Lerav Chisda. We will present a source indicating that Tfilin will be a reason for repudiating Rav Chisda's teaching. So the Gemara continues. Sukkah Messiah lay to Rav Chisda, Tfilin Havei Tiyuvdei. Hare Sukkah. We have a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a crown form with the word Sukkah written in and a vertical dashed line that follows the text of the last line of the Omid. And the reason for this marking is simply to show that the concern or discussion surrounding Sukkah lasts till that point. The Gemara continues. How is Sukkah going to support Rav Chisda? The Gemara explains, Hare Sukkah Dikshera Vavikachavim. If a Gentile builds a Sukkah, the Sukkah eventually can be used on the holiday of Sukkahs to fulfill the mitzvah. The Sukkah, this Kshera Vavikachavim, once again, if the idol worshiper made a Sukkah, it's okay, it's kosher. The Sanya Sukkah Vavikachavim, Sukkahs Noshim, Sukkahs Behema, Sukkahs Kusim, Sukkahs Sukkah Mikomakom, Kshera. All of these different Sukkah situations, and what we have emphasized with our dashed underlining is all we really need to know for right now, and that is the Sukkah of Erovi Kechavim is kosher when it comes to the holiday of Sukkahs. Ubi Yisrael Ein Tzorach Levarech. Notice with our, we're continuing to use this dash, this diagonal dash underline to feature or highlight the rule of Rav Chisda. In this case, we have Sukkah. We've underlined the dashed underline. Oyvei Kichavim is Kshera, and according to Rav Chisda's rule, if something is kosher when done by an idol worshiper, then by a Jew who does that will not make a bracha. And in fact, that's what the Gemara goes on to say. Will be Yisrael Ein Tzorach Levarech. Tesanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Ho'isis Sukkah Le'atzmo Omer Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Me'acholom Shechin V'kimun Avigyon Azman Azeh. Bo Le'shev Bo Omer Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Me'acholom Asher Kitchon Mitzvot Mitzvonu Le'shev Basukkah. So this source featured the a bracha of Asher Kitchonu b'mitzvusav v'shivonu leishev basukah. It may also mention the Shechiyonu. The ilu la'asoy sukah lo mevorach, but there is no record here of a bracha of la'asoy sukah, showing that there is no mitzvah in the making of the sukkah itself. So as far as the case of sukkah is concerned, that supports, or that's in conformity to the principle that Rav Chisda taught before. However, tefillin tiyuvtei, tefillin will pose a challenge to Rav Chisda. Varei tefillin dipsulus bevichavim. For a Gentile to manufacture tefillin, that would be invalid. The Tanya of Chinina brei derava mi pashranya. He has the following Tanaic source that he teaches at the top of Mem Beis Omid Beis. Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzos Shekosvan Tzeduki Kusi Ovi Kachavim Eved Ishok Vekotin Mumar Psulin. A Sefer Torah that's or a Tefillin that are written by any of these characters, they would be puzzle. Now, with our dashed underlining, it's not a random dashed underline. There's a lot of thought put into this. We've dashed underlined the following terms: Tefillin done by a goy are puzzle. And from where do I learn this? Shenema ukshartam uchsavtam. Those are words from the Kriya Shema. Kol sheyeshno b'kshira, yeshno b'ksivos. Anyone who is commanded to bind the tefillin on his arm, he is included in the mitzvah to write the tefillin. Kol sheeno b'kshira, eino b'ksivo. He was not included in the binding of the tefillin. Then he is not capable of writing them. He's excluded. So far, and of course we know that a Gentile is not mitzuvah in putting on tefillin. And the pasuk ukshartam lo sa yadecha is referring to the Jewish people. So being that the Gentile is not in the mitzvah of wearing the tefillin, he's also not included in the mitzvah of writing the tefillin. And yet, Ubi Yisrael Ein Tzorach Levorech. Notice the use of this dashed underlining, this diagonal dashed underlining, because this is really bringing out the main point, that in the case of tefillin, which it was just mentioned are Ovi Kovim Posel, according to the rule of Rav Chisda, if it's Ba'ofi Kofim Posol, then Yisrael should mevorech. And yet here it says, Ubi Yisrael ain tzorech levorech. The Shalch Rav Chiyo Brei, the Rav Huna, Mishmei, the Rav Yochanan, Al Tfilin Shel Yad, Omer, Baruch, Asher, Gishon, Vesov, Tzivonu, Lo Niach Tfilin. Here the Gemara presents the different brachas in a somewhat abbreviated fashion. But after all is said and done, the Gemara will also say that there is no bracha of lasos tefillin. So it shows you that Yisrael ain tzorech levarech. And then that will be a problem for Rav Chisda's rule, because here you have a case of something that is possible ba'ovi kochavim, and as a result of that, Yisrael should make a bracha. And yet it says here that Yisrael is ain tzorech levarech. What are some of the other brachas? Al tefillin Shel Roish, Omer, Baruch, Hashir, Yishonu, V'mizrisov, Zivonu, Al, Mitzvah, Tfilin. V'ilu, La, Sois, Tfilin, Lo, Mevorech. After all is said and done, we see there's no reference to a bracha for making the Tfilin. So, El Olav, Hainu, Taimo. We have to then explain a rule for making brachas. Because at this point, we thought we had a rule that said if a Yisrael is, if an Akum is acceptable to making the mitzvah, then Yisrael is Ein Tzorech Levorech. If the Akum is unacceptable in making the mitzvah, then the Yisrael does make a bracha. We see that the rule doesn't hold up when it comes to the case of tefillin. So we have to restate the matter. We will notice some new markings. We have a double underline used and a triangle. So in the outside margin, the Mivneh features a double underline, Kol Mitzvah, and there would be a rule called after each double underline expression. And the triangle is Hadgoshas Mitzvos Shonos. We're going to emphasize or highlight different mitzvahs and see how they pertain to the rules that we will see. The first triangle you can see is around the word milah, the second one around the word tefillin, and the third around tzitzis. So the new rule is, kol mitzvah, the asiyasa gemar mitzvah, where the making of it constitutes the end of the mitzvah, the completion of the mitzvah, kagon milah. So a mitzvah like that, where the asiyas, the gemar mitzvah, like in the case of milah, the cutting of the foreskin is the completion of that mitzvah, we say, Avogav the Ksheiro Bevikachavim, even though it would be acceptable if done by a goy, Tzorech Levorech. So a mitzvah whose asiya constitutes the Gemar, we will tell you that even if such a mitzvah is kosher Bevikachavim, it still requires a brocha. The whole mitzvah d'asiyasa lav gemar mitzvah, kagon tefillin, any mitzvah whose making of it is not the completion of it, like is the case of tefillin, afagav d'psuas b'vikachavim, even though it's something that would be unacceptable for a Gentile to make, b'Yisrael eino tzorech levorech. A Jew does not have to make a bracha. Because the main factor is this idea of its asiya being a gemar mitzvah. Ubetzitzis beha komivagi. When it comes to tzitzis, it's in the following that you have the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, Aliba the Rav. So with regard to tzitzis, and at this point, we can go back to the triangles that we saw on Amud Aleph with the colored in tips. Since we just made reference to Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, there we saw Rav Nachman holding that there is no need for making a bracha of la'asos tzitzis. And according to Rav Chisda, there is a basis for making a bracha. So what's the underlying machlokas? The Gemara explains, Ubetzitzis, b'hokom mitzvah, mor sovar chovas talisu. The Rav Chisda, who holds that there is a brocha to be made on the making of tzitzis, he holds that the obligation is to see to it that the garment has tzitzis in it. So as soon as tzitzis are tied into a garment, that is the completion of the mitzvah. And we said a moment ago that a mitzvah whose asiyah is its completion requires a bracha. Umor Sava, Rav Nachman, who had said no bracha in the making of tzitzis, he holds chivas gavrohu. It's an obligation upon the person. In other words, the making of it is not the completion. The mitzvah is performed when a person wraps himself, he does atifas arosh in the talis or the tzitzis. Omalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, Atun Hochi Masnisu La. You have this version, and this is a reference to Roman numeral number 1 on Omer Aleph. You have this version of Rav Yehuda Marav, namely that tzitzis done by an akum is posel. Well, Anan Hochi Masninon La. We have the following version, and let us just point out, by having the version that says in the name of Rav Yehuda Rav that tzitzis done by an akum or posel, that created the contradiction between the two comments of Rav, as we explained on Omer Aleph. However, Anan Hochi Masninon La, we have the following version of Rav Yehuda Rav that says Minayim Letzitzis Be'evi Gechavim Shekshera. From where do we know that tzitzis made by a Gentile are acceptable? Shenema Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'asu Lahem Tzitzis. And from that, who is to make the tzitzis? It says V'asu Ya'asu Lahem Achirim. Others shall make the tzitzis for the Jewish people, indicating that a Gentile is acceptable in the making of tzitzis. That being the case, so then if you go back to the rule of Rav Chisda, if a Gentile is acceptable in making the item, then there is no need for a bracha. And if that be the case, then there's no contradiction between that position of Rav and that which Rav Nachman reported earlier, likewise, that there is no need for the bracha. Rav Nachman, don't forget, he was the one that jeered the one making a bracha. So just to review the last point, the point made by Rav Mordechai to Rav Ashi, he had said that only because we had the Roman numeral number 1 version of Rav Yehuda Marav did we run into a problem. Did we run into a contradiction between the Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda versions of Rav? However, if you present Rav Yehuda Marav like this, that tzitzis made by a Gentile are kosher, that would indicate that a Jew in making the tzitzis does not have to make the bracha as per Rav Chisda's original klal, and therefore there would have been no contradiction in the first place. Before going on, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. Chutin hamechuborim lebeged, strings that are attached to a garment, loose strings that are protruding forth from a garment, so to speak, or dangling from a garment. Those strings are psulim letzitzis. They're unacceptable to take advantage of those strings that are dangling from a garment and then convert them into tzitzis by adding other strings and using these. And that's the problem. The problem there is that these strings were not attached to the garment with tzitzis in mind. There is a machlokes e bo'inon tevia lishma. We will see also a controversy, machlokes, concerning the issue of the spinning of the wool in order to make the tzitzis strings. Does the tevia have to be done lishma, meaning with the mitzvah intent, namely that while one is spinning the wool, he has in mind that these strings will be used for the mitzvah tzitzis? The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Ason min ha-kutzen u min ha-nimen u min ha-garden psula. the one who makes tzitzis from these three different situations of dangling strings from corners of garments. There are different situations. One's called koitzim, one's nimin, and one's gardim. Any one of those, which what they have in common is that these are strings that are protruding forth from an article of clothing. The strings were not put into the garment with tzitzis in mind initially. So that situation, Rav says, is unacceptable. In other words, not to use those strings for the making of tzitzis. Min ha sisin kshera. However, taking wool strings from a ball sisin, a ball of wool or a skein of wool, and then using them, those strings, inserting them into a garment and making tzitzis from them, that's okay. That's kshera. Ki amrisa made a Shmuel, when this was said over in the presence of Shmuel, Omar, he pointed out that he disagrees. Af min hasisin psula. Tzitzis made from sisin are unacceptable. Why? Bo'inon tevio lishmo. Because the Gentiles did not spin the wool making these strings with the mitzvah in mind. So it's lacking what's called lishma. So at this point, if you look at Rav and Shmuel in these last couple lines, there is a machlokas whether you need to have tevia lishma. This, the Gemara says, is based on another machlokas tanoim, kit tanoi. We have a Tanaic source that's presented here, and it's in a frame. Let's see what it says. Tzipon zohov. You took the tefillin and coated them with gold. Oshatola alehem or behema tamea. Or you made the boxes of the tefillin out of horse skin or camel skin. Skin from an unkosher variety animal. So tzitzis like that are either coated in gold or made from or behema tamea, tzitzis like that are invalid. Or behema tahura ksheros. Kosher variety animal whose skin is used to make the boxes, that is kosher. That's the correct thing to do. V'yafal b'yishol ibdon lishmon. Even if they were not tanned, ibdon is the tanning of wool, even if they were not tanned with the tefillin intent in mind. So the Tanakama is saying that you don't need to have ibud lishma. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Af Or Behema Tahora Psulos Ad Shiabdan Lishmo. Just because something is the skin of a kosher variety animal, that in and of itself does not mean that it's fit, it's worthy of being used for tefillin. It must be, in addition to the being from a kosher variety animal, it must also be tanned with tefillin with mitzvah intent. So what have we seen? The idea of preparing an item to be used for a mitzvah is the lishma thought, something that is binding. So that also that line of thinking exists between Rav and Shmuel. Amalei Abaye the Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Hai Tchelta Hechi Tzav Isula. Here the Gemara it gets into the topic of the actual preparing of the dye and dyeing the wool in it. In our topic heading, the outside margin, we've written the nosei, hachonas tzeva tcheles l'tzvia, the preparation of the tcheles dye for the dyeing of the wool, and l'kichas ma'at min hatzeva l'shem nisui. We'll see how, in order to test the quality of the tcheles, they would withdraw some treles liquid. We're talking about a dye, a liquid dye. They would withdraw some of this liquid in an eggshell and then dye wool using that, we'll call it that sample amount of dye, and see how well it takes. So Abaye, sister of Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Hai techelto hechi tzavisula. Tzitzis, how is it that you, how do you dye it? What are the steps that are necessary? Omalei, so he answers, ki maisinon dam, omalei, maisinon dam chilozon. Chilozon is the name of the creature whose dam, we'll call it blood, is actually used as the main ingredient in the tchelis making. We'll have to assume that it's a blue-tinged blood. This samonim, and in addition to the blood of the chilazon, samonim are also brought. Rashi explains in the upper part of the page, he says, derech hatsoivim lishros begodim betzorif shekorin, that people who were going to dye clothing would soak the clothing beforehand in this material called tzorif. So that's what the samonim expression is referring to. So that if you want to dye something, in addition to preparing the tchelis itself, you also brought these chemicals, samonim, v'raminan lehu b'yoreh, and you would place them into a cauldron, u'marsichinon lei, we would heat it up, v'shaklina purta v'be'asa. So in the meantime, what have we done? We brought the dam chilazon, and samonim, and we've put it into a large pot, we've boiled it up, then we withdraw a little bit, bebeasa, in an eggshell, v'ta'aminon lehu b'udra, and then we take a clump of wool and put it into this eggshell that contains the tchelas dye, v'shadinon le lahu be'asa, and after we finish the testing to see how well the wool took hold, how well the tchelas took hold in the clump of testing wool, the Gemara says, v'shadinon le lahu be'asa, we would throw out the little quantity of dye that's left in that eggshell, v'kalinon le leudra, and we would also go and burn the test dye, the test wool. So after all has been done, we see them throwing out the liquid dye that's in the eggshell that was used right now for dyeing the clump of wool, and we see them throwing out the clump of wool also that just absorbed the tchelis color into it. From these two points, Shema Mino Tlas, we can reach three conclusions. Number one, Shema Mino Te'ima Psula. The tsemer, this little clump of test wool that was used to see the quality of the dye, the Gemara says, we learn from the fact that we were told to burn that test sample of wool. Te'ima psula, that is puzzle. You can't use that dyed clump of wool for, let's say, the making of tzitzis. Number two, shma mino deboinon tzviya lishma. We see from this incident that the tzviya, the dyeing, has to be done with the mitzvah intent. This, by the way, is learned from the fact that the test wool is discarded, is burnt. You could have asked, well, why not make it into tzitzis? The reason is because its dyeing was for the sake of testing the quality of dye. It wasn't that dyed lishma. And number three, ushma mina te'ima posla. That means that the dye itself that was used for the testing is puzzles, unfit. And therefore, if you were to take that remaining test dye and throw it back into the pot containing the tchelis, you would ruin the entire pot. The Gemara asks, Hainu t'ima pos psula, Hainu tzviya lishma. Is it not so that halachas 1 and 2 are really one and the same? Namely, what did we say in the Shema Mina number 1? That the testing, te'ima psula, means the piece of wool that was used for the testing, is posel for tzitzis. Well, it's posel because it wasn't dyed. That test wool was not dyed l'shem tzitzis. Well, hainu tzviya l'shma. That's what point number 2 featured. So there seems to be a redundancy here. 1 and 2 are in effect teaching me the same thing. Omar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi explains, Matam Komar. There aren't two separate conclusions here. Rather, Matam Ti'ima Psula. Why is it that the test clump of wool is unfit? Mishum Deboinon Sviyo Lishma. Because we require for something to be kosher for the use of tzitzis, its initial dyeing had to be done with a mitzvah in mind, with a mitzvah intent. So the point the Gemara now gets involved with is the issue of this te'ima psula. Is it in fact possible because it was done shelo lishma? So kitanoi te'ima psula mishum shenemar kliel tcheles. The Rashi explains this drasha. Mishum shenemar kliel tcheles kol tcheles bo'inon she kol ikur mare hachilazon batzemer shelo yehe dover acher tzavua ba mitchilasa. We want the dye that's used for making the tzitzis to be a dye that was not used for dyeing anything else beforehand. Divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy Omer afilu mare sheni sheba kosher. What is mare sheni? Rashi says shekvar nitzba bo tzemer acher veze hasheni kosher. According to this approach, and we should read the basis of that shenemar ushni tolas. The word shni is taken to mean sheni. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that if you have dye that was used for something else, and now I'm coming to use it for the mitzvah, that is still, that's quite all right. So we see that the issue that was mentioned above, that said te'ima, or depending on the girsa, could be to'ama posla, that the dye that was used for testing out is unfit for would render the rest of the would be rendered unfit because it was used for something else for testing. It would render it unfit for a mitzvah. So that in fact is a machlokas tanoim according to the first opinion, who says kaliot tcheles, and as Rashi said, that the dye could not have been used for dyeing something else. And if it was, if the tzitzis would be the second dyeing in this substance, in this liquid, it would be unfit. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Avoy, who said, based on the posuk of Ushniu Tolas, even if the tzitzis represent the second use of the liquid, it would be okay. Tonu Rabbonon. Tcheles ein lo bedika, v'ein nicheis elamin amumche. We should point out that in this Tanaic source, we've numbered 1 through 3. There are 3 mitzvah elements, 3 articles. And the question is, do I have to buy it specifically from an expert? Can I rely on a common vendor? So the first mitzvah concerns tcheles. Tcheles ein lo bedika, v'ein nichis elo min amumche. There's a havamina right now, which will be challenged later. But right now, the havamina is, the thought is, that tcheles ein lo bedika means that there's no way to test tcheles out to determine whether it's authentic or it is kola ilan. And therefore, ve'ein nirches ela min amumche. Therefore, you'll have to buy it from someone who is an expert. The Rashi points out, buying it from an expert is a reference to from someone who knows that kola ilon is unacceptable. Number two, tefillin yesh lehem bedika v'ein nikrin ela min amumche. Tefillin is something that one can know by looking at the portions that are written in the form of the tefillin, one can open them up and check out the writing and the spelling. As Rashi says, one has to medaktik with the chaseris and yeseris, letters that are not supposed to be there and letters that are supposed to be there even if they're not read. So therefore tefillin has bedika. You can check that out. However, however, v'ein nikhin ela min amuche, I nevertheless must buy it from an expert. He is someone that knows that the tanning has to be done lishma. Has to be done with the mitzvah of the tanning of the leather, has to be done with the mitzvah of tefillin in mind. Number three, sfarim mezuzos, other holy works and mezuzos, yesh lahen bedika, their accuracy can be checked out. V'nikhin mikol odom, they can be purchased from just anybody. And the reason for that is because those don't need to have ibud lishma. The tanning does not have to be done with a mitzvah in mind. After this, the Gemara raises a question, questions that which the source opened up by teaching that Tcheles ein lo bedika. We seem to see that Tcheles does have bedika. And that will be the subject of the next piece of Gemara. But for our purposes, with that we conclude our shiur for today.